Edmonton Oilers drop a point, 3-2 in overtime to the Arizona Coyotes, a team that they got a lot going on right now, but they did a good job focusing on hockey. They have a couple of nights actually in a row, the Coyotes have. Plucky win by the Arizona Coyotes. Jason Strudwick and Rob Brown are standing by to break this thing down. We're going to have to sort out a little tiff between the two of them too, because just before we got on air, Struds was caught talking about Brownie behind his back. It wasn't pretty. So we're going to have to work through a little chemistry issues here on Got Your Back. Coming at you from our Long Shot studio here in Sherwood Park, all game days, all day happy hour specials, $5 Long Shots Lager. Check it out down at Long Shots. Great golf experience. Excuse me. And as always, the show is brought to you by Sherwood Buick GMC. I've gotten to know some of the crew down there, and they're fantastic. Really good people. It's a great dealership. They've got trucks in stock. They've got cars in stock. If you're looking to pick up something new or used, head down to 10 Auto Mall Road. If anybody you know is interested, send them down there. Tell them Got Your Back sent you. They'll give you some specialized pricing. They'll always give you a good deal and with some free detail packages as well. They got a streamlined process. They respect your time. Easy financing process. Just a simple buying experience. I've been through it, right? Bought the truck there. I got the Sierra 1500 elevation and a great set of wheels. So highly recommend you go see Sherwood Buick GMC. So we welcome in. Brothers fight. Listen, brothers fight. Brothers argue. And we had a bit of an awkward moment before the podcast got going. Strudz, I don't know if you want to explain it, but you got caught chirping Brownie behind his back. And I think that's not just friendly chirping. That's a little bit offside there, bud.
Listen, I'm at times gutless, and there are some comments I say I don't want the other person to know about. So I literally didn't think Brownie was on. And I'm like,
Rob Brown was on yet.
I didn't think he was on. So I just said, you know, Brownie's got something about, we were talking about working on, like, Brownie's got a, it's like how Brownie has to work harder in the gym. And also Brownie's like, I can hear you. I'm like, oh my God.
I didn't think you were on yet. Says Strudz.
Words hurt, Jason.
Oh boy, right. That was so funny. I was dying, man. That was really funny.
Because I said, guys, you're going to have to carry me tonight. I'm dragging my ass around here. And you said, why do you even need to say that? That does not change my night one bit. That's the way it always is. That would be like Brownie saying, I got to work harder at the gym. Like, no kidding. And then Brownie is like, hey. And Strudge is like, oh, I didn't know you were on the chat, which made it even worse. I thought I was knifing you behind your back, Brownie.
Yeah. So I don't think I have to apologize for a stab in the back that he heard, right? Like, so it's out there now.
Well, do you know what? Brownie, you're going to have your chance to shine, bud, because guess what? Strudz, you might not even know this yet, Strudz. Brownie's getting his own special segment in the show tonight, bud. His own feature segment, Brownie.
This is a one-off.
I'm going to stomp all over Strudy's earth or whatever that thing's called yours. It's about time I get my platform.
Did we vote on this? Like, we didn't vote on this, did we?
Yeah, everybody important voted on it, and it was 1-0. He's doing it. Everybody who gets to make decisions on this show voted, he's doing it.
Brutal. Good. It'll be fun. I can't wait to hear Brownie's.
Yes.
What's it called? Brownie's Nuts? What's it called again?
No. I think that's the best we could do branding wise would be time now for Brownie's Nuts.
Brownie's kind of funny. It's like a double play on words, right? Like Brownie's Nuts or Brownie's Nuts. You know what I mean? Like, I think maybe we should rebrand it.
No,
I don't want to see the t-shirts or the hats if we call it Brownie's Nuts.
What it's going to be called is Brownie Points, and it's going to come at the end of takeaways. Okay. Rob Brown gets a chance to put his little spin on the night, high five some people. Maybe he will give and he will take away brownie points as he sees fit, courtesy our brand new sponsor, Hamel's Beef Jerky. Awesome Alberta company coming on board and super pumped, because who doesn't want a little beef jerky at playoff time? So we'll get to that at the end of takeaways. Okay, enough of this nonsense, guys. We're going to have to push through our internal issues and try and provide an entertaining show for those on the live stream. So let's get to breaking down this overtime loss by the Oilers. And it's brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop, where they perform services from oil changes and engine swaps, overhauls, modified engine work. The crew at Adrenaline Diesel are there to get your truck or trailer in great shape, like it's right out of the factory. High-quality work, great service. Drop in and check them out. AdrenalineDiesel.ca. Brownie, I will start with you tonight. Just give me your kind of headline thought on what you watched tonight and what the Oilers brought.
I don't think the Oilers came to the game emotionally engaged in this one. It was Arizona. It wasn't Dallas or LA or Vegas. And it showed early in the game. The Coyotes were the better team to start. And it took a while for the Oilers to get engaged in this hockey game. I'm sure there'll be a different engagement in tomorrow night's game against Vancouver, easy to get up for. But I think it took the Oilers a while. And I think good play by Calvin Pickard kept the Oilers in this in the first period, because I thought the Arizona Coyotes, through the first 20 minutes, were the much better hockey club.
Struds?
I can't say much better than that. I think you absolutely nailed it, Brownie. I'm not going to even comment on it because that was so right. I'll just say on the other side that Coyotes they're starting to look good. Like they play fast. Some of their young players look good. So I think that they're going in the right direction. But Brownie, as far as the Oilers, just absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the name of the pod, did we name it Trap Game, Zuby? Yeah, we did, Trap Game. Was this a trap game, Struds? Like, you got the big game against Vegas, then you got the big game against Vancouver. You got a team coming in, and you kind of, you know, you might take them lightly. It might be tough to get up for the game a little bit. It felt like a bit of a trap game.
Yeah, I think, you know, a trap game is fair. I think what I would call it just the emotional, like, letdown, right? It's not quite there. The Arizona Coyotes, soon to be another city. Like, it's not that exciting to play these guys. Like, just completely honest. And it's not that they're not at home. They don't want to put a show on for them. They don't want to do all that. But it's just human nature. It's just the way it is. You know, I think that, yes, you know, trap game, emotional letdown, I think those are all fair things. But the Oilers kind of found it again this second period and got going. Strong performance for sure by Pickard. But, you know, they just couldn't quite get it over the top enough. And oftentimes what happens, and I've been on bad teams, when you're a bad team, you're like, well, these guys aren't that good tonight, you know, like as far as the good team. And you're like, we might have a chance. And you kind of get feeling and you're like wheeling and dealing. And then you kind of just play out the string and, you know, they end up getting the overtime win. But, yeah, it's just one of those games where it's not great, especially when there's kind of another point sitting there to get to try to catch first place.
What do you think of the line formations, Brownie? Like, just kind of run through line by line, and we imagine if McDavid is back in, there will be some adjustments, and we'll get to that in our takeaway segment. We'll look ahead to the Vancouver game. But what did you think, night two, of these line formations?
Well, I thought the Henrique line, I thought, was excellent. They were the best line in the game tonight. Henrique playing with Kane and Fogle. They were fully engaged right from the get-go. I mean, Kane had two wide-open looks in the first period. Probably could have had a couple of goals there. So I thought they were good. I thought McLeod, Perry, and Holloway quieter tonight. They were excellent last game, quieter tonight. I thought Leon Nugent, Hyman, I think they were the ones that took the longest to get into, just because it wasn't as big a game. I think the bigger the game, the better they play. I think Leon made a number of great plays, but I thought by far the best line, though, was Henrique's. I thought they were all over the ice all night long. Fogle was excellent this game. Kane was excellent. And Henrique, again, scores a goal from 5 feet out. I think every goal he's gotten so far with the Oilers have been in from the same position. But Struds, what I saw was that was the best line, and I don't know if we're going to see that line again.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because, you know, you're right. There was a best line. So it's clear that Connor McDavid should be outside the top six. You know, he's the problem. he's not fitting in. He's the chemistry issue there in the top six. But I you know, it's funny, as I was watching the game, and again, Brownie, you're on fire tonight. You must be excited because you have your own segment coming up. But, you know, I was like, how could you form the lines so that that line of Kane, Henrique, and Fogel could play together some more? You know, because it's a big line, it's a heavy line, it's a veteran line. And the only thing kept coming with is putting Nugent 3C, you know, and I don't know if you're going to do that. It seems a little bit dramatic because you're not moving Hyman, you're not moving Leon, you're not moving Connor. So by the process of elimination, it's Nuge. And I'm not suggesting that's the plan, but I think if I was the head coach, I would just write this little line down in like pen, kind of on the inside of my cart. And like, if you need to look at something a little bit more veteranish, that'd be my group.
Brownie, what do you think of that?
I think he's right. 100%. I watched them play and I'm thinking in my head, well, when Connor comes back, Connor's going to go between Nuge and Hyman. And then where are you going to put Leon? He's not going to play with Holloway and McLeod or McLeod and Perry. So yeah, I thought that line was very, very good. But when Connor comes back, it's just going to change everything up. The only other option too is all of a sudden Connor gets Nuge and Leon gets Hyman, and then you try to fill spots in. But to me, I think Henry Klein, as Strud said, mark it down. Somewhere down the road, you may want to reunite them. But I think it was a one-off. I think that they were great tonight, but come tomorrow, if Connor's in the lineup, that line will be no longer.
Let's get to the Weis Johnson sound box. They're offering $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system. Be proactive to keep the air in your home clean, because if we have another forest fire season like the past few years, this filtration system will take the smoke out of the air in your home. It'll be especially helpful to those with respiratory issues. Contact them today for this great deal by visiting Weis-Johnson.com. Weis Johnson, Weis Johnson, whoa. Chris Knobloch on whether this one maybe caught him off guard a little bit or was a bit of a trap game.
Possibility. You look at the last weekend of having a great game against Colorado and then going into Calgary, and it wasn't nearly as well played as the previous game because there was a high. And, you know, very similar. This weekend, just the games are reversed. The big game's on the second one, and the first game's just another game. But I think we found our game. I thought we played well enough to win it. It wasn't the start that we liked. But no matter you're playing those back-to-backs, I think you always get up for the ones that you're playing, that elite team or the one that you're fighting for in a position. Yeah, there might have been some of that, but I don't think that's the reason why I'm losing or winning tonight.
And again, we'll get to that matchup against the Vancouver Canucks coming up in our takeaway segment. Struds, what'd you make of the overtime winner?
Without Connor, I thought the whole line setup was odd.
Like, yeah, it was weird, hey?
And the biggest thing that jumped on my off the screen to me, at least, not even McDavid, no Bouchard. I don't think Bouchard touched the ice in overtime. As I remember it now, I might be wrong, maybe you guys, but I don't remember seeing him out there. So a bit of a surprise that he wasn't out there. So because they went Nurse, Leon, and Nuge, so normally that's only one of the three guys are normally there. And then I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I thought it was Ekholm the next one. I that was odd.
Yeah, I'm just checking the shift charts right now. Yeah, he didn't get any. Yeah,
I think you're right, Stripes.
You're right.
He didn't. Yeah. But you know what? When they started the starting lineup, obviously Nurse used to be the guy that always started. Then Bouchard's become that guy.
Yeah.
I thought Nurse had an excellent game tonight, and I thought Bouchard struggled. I thought this was an off night for Bouchard.
Yeah.
And I think that's a coach right there saying, you know what? I'm rewarding the guy that's playing well. I got a hunch. And I thought Nurse was fine in the overtime. He created, had a great opportunity. He and Leon fought for the puck along the boards. But for me, it did look different. But know what it was like, Strud? It's like this is how the rest of the National Hockey League has overtimes, because without Connor, both teams get to touch the puck. Both teams get to have a chance to score. That's what I just kept thinking. I go, oh, this is what overtime looks like when the other team has a chance.
Yeah. You know, I think we should highlight Calvin Pickard. I thought he had a good night tonight, and those two saves in overtime were excellent.
Yeah, that was something.
You know, if I were to critique anything on the goal, I would like to see Henrik just be I thought he sagged just a little bit, and that allowed the shooter to move into a more desirable shooting area, Brownie.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I give credit to the Coyotes. They kept control of the puck in the offensive zone, and I believe the kid that scored it came off the bench. They made a line change. I mean, that was a great shot. I just felt for Pickard, because it's like you make those two big saves, that gives your team the chance to come back and win. And usually when you see those big saves, you get the win. And then for him to get beat with that shot, it was a nice shot. I want to go back to what you said earlier about the Coyotes. That is a good hockey club. They are going to be a good hockey club. They have one guy on that team tonight that's 30. Everyone else on that team is young. That Logan Cooley is going to be good. Dylan Gunther is going to be good. They're going to be the second line next year. That is going to be good. And they've got a ton of money to spend this summer on free agents, and they got an owner that wants to make a splash in Salt Lake. This will be a team that will push for the playoffs next year. They are fun to watch.
Yeah. No, and they pushed pace there. I mean, they had the Oilers hemmed in. How many times tonight, Struds? The Oilers were...
Yeah.
And again, a lot of it was to the outside, so maybe it looks a little fancier. I thought they did a really nice job batting the puck around to one another and holding possession and kind of having the Oilers chasing around.
Yeah, I think I got to give that coach a lot of credit. It feels like... I mean, we didn't see this so much from the Coyotes early in the year, but right now, when I see them play, they feel like they're playing with a lot of confidence, and they're not scared of making mistakes. They're not scared of the moment. So, you know, all the guys that Brownie went through are young players, Cooley and Josh Doan, I thought, looked good tonight. Dylan Gunther. So just those three guys, their average age, I'm guessing, is like 21, you know, like, and they're not small. I mean, Cooley's not a giant, but the other two guys are decent size. They can skate, they can make plays. So let's just call that a line. And then he got Schmaltz and Krause and, you know, Masili, or whatever you say, however you say his
Michelli,
name. Clayton Keller. They'll probably have another Clayton Keller have another reasonable high pick this year. You know, I think their D is, there's a lot of, I think they got some work to do back there, but I mean, they can figure that out over time. So yeah, this team is going to be, you know, be interesting to see what they look like even 2 years from now, I guess, even, you know, starting next year. But like when these guys get a little older, some of those draft picks produce, and they've got a ton of draft picks. So I'm guessing, guys, that some of those second rounders they have the next 3 years, those are going to turn into live players with contracts that maybe someone can't afford anymore. So yeah, this team's going to look a lot different.
All right, we're going to dig in a little bit more on, I want your guys' perspective on what these players might be going through. We're going to do that in takeaways, and we're going to look ahead to the game against the Vancouver Canucks as well. For now, let's get to our UCAN Youth Services Relentless Player of the Night. If you're looking to hire entry-level staff for your company, UCAN Youth Services trains youth in pre-employment skills to help get them ready, willing, and able to join your team. Check out www.ucan.ca for more information. Struddy, who gets the nod tonight?
That's a good question.
Oh, you hadn't thought of it ahead of time.
Well,
Brownie, you got one on the tip of your tongue? Struddy's dropping the ball here. You can
take Struddy's. I'm not going to steal. I'm not stealing his thunder.
Well, no, it's fine. I think that Brownie's comments earlier is that this team wasn't like they were. The Oilers, at least, weren't on fire. Like, they weren't going. So I'm gonna give it to a guy I thought had a good game today. And he did what I like to see, holding onto the puck down low. Evander Kane. I think Evander Kane had a game where it's starting to look like a playoff team and a playoff line. That line they had today. So I'm going with Evander.
Oh, what do you think, bud? Brownie?
I thought he had a very, very good game. I thought Evander was good in this hockey game. He was engaged. I think he saw an opportunity. Again, Evander, like all hockey players, wants more ice time. They all do. He doesn't want to be sitting there getting 12 minutes a night. Playoffs are four games away. He's auditioning just like everyone else, and I thought he had a very good audition today.
And that physicality, boy, when he ratchets that up, he just runs into people and he makes a difference. You know, and then the more he does it, the more the D-men know that he's coming. Yeah, I that's not a bad pick. Not a terrible pick. You could have done worse with that. Evander Kane, you can use services.
Sorry, I could have done better?
Relentless player. Oh, did I say you could have done better?
Well, no, you're just implying I could have done better. But like, who would you, just out of interest, who would you have given it to?
Yeah.
Like, who stood out? Who stood out for you?
I don't know. Yeah.
But that's the problem, is that I didn't think Pickard might have been an easy one, but
yeah, Pickard would be the easy one because he kept him in there and he was.
But go through the forwards, like, I mean, I guess maybe Derek Ryan, he had a great day in the draw. He was snapping everything back.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, it wasn't as clear tonight. Usually I feel like it just pops off the page.
Yeah.
This one wasn't there, guys. So, okay. Apology accepted. Let's continue.
Nice job. Okay. When we come back, I told you guys were going to be carrying me tonight. When we come back, we'll look ahead to the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow night with lots on the line. I want to get your perspective on these Coyote players and what they might be going through. We'll do that as well. And of course, we'll debut our new segment, Brownie Points. That and lots more. Can't wait.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Chasing sounds exciting. Most days, though, it's a lot of standing in the rain. But you know what's exciting and dry? PlayAlberta.ca. With hundreds of new live tables, online casino games, and instants.
PlayAlberta.ca. Go all in on excitement. Sign up today with promo code CASINO50 and get a $50 welcome bonus. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense.
All right, let's get to a few of our takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Make this summer a Sea-Doo summer with the new Sea-Doo Switch, the only pontoon that easily adapts to any family size adventure. Fully customizable from rail to deck, its modular design lets you rearrange the seats depending on the number of passengers or activity you're doing. Plus, the easy handlebar steering makes it stress-free to steer, dock, and launch. Check it out at Martin Motorsports on the west or south side of Edmonton today. Let's just stay with the Coyotes here real quick, guys. There was lots of news there today. And by the way, so last night in Vancouver, they didn't do much in the way of availability to kind of get the players' perspective on it. This morning, they did make Clayton Keller and Lawson Crouse available to the media. And obviously, it's a difficult situation, right? Lots going on for these guys. A lot of upheaval, especially for those that have families. Bill Armstrong, the general manager, flies in and has a meeting with the team this afternoon. And then there were multiple reports tonight about what the context of that meeting was. Emily Kaplan, I think Friege, both had reports suggesting that they basically confirmed that this was happening to the players and that they're going to go to Salt Lake City to check it out, and that it's really that far down the path. So then post-game, we go down there to get the player's reaction to what Armstrong had to say, and the Coyotes had just shut the locker room, like didn't allow any media in. No players were made available. Andre Tourigny came out and said, I'm only going to talk. So they just clamped it down. Now, since this has really picked up, they've played well. They've done an admirable job of keeping their heads in it, Struds, and playing good games. But from a player's perspective, this cannot be easy for them.
No. And so first off, I know it's not ideal, but I have no problem with the team kind of locking down the dressing room. Like those guys are trying to deal with it. And I think I kind of understand that. Maybe they should make the GM available, but I do understand that idea of it.
And just so you know, I'll be the media nerd here because I need to fly the flag. It's against regulations. Sure. You can't do it. To make the players available. If you don't do it as an organization, you probably end up getting penalized or fined. Totally against the rules.
Yeah.
Like completely against the rules. So I'll wave the rule book at you, Strutty.
I know, but I'll say this is that this has never happened before. I don't think this has ever happened. I mean, I guess when the Jets moved, I'm not sure how that was handled, but it is a lot to deal with. I think in your player, you're trying to digest it. That being said, the people I actually feel really badly for are those that have worked so hard in that organization to keep it there. Those are the people I truly feel bad for, because I'm guessing many of them are not going to join the team in Salt Lake City. And I'm not talking about the GM or the coach. I'm talking about Liz, who works at the ticket booth, or Jimmy, who, like, you know, makes sure the rink's always right. Like, that is, those are the people I truly feel bad for. Even some of the broadcast team. Are they going to, you know, our good buddy Tyson Nash, is he going to move over and go to Salt Lake City?
Did he chirp you hard tonight, by the way? We'll get to that later.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, so I just, those are the people I feel bad for. Now, as far as the players, I think that right away, I think it's really unsettling. I think you're just, okay, what's going on? But players are used to moving. Now, this is unique, but let's be honest. The current and past owners of the Arizona Coyotes have mismanaged this thing many, many times. So if I was on that team and I was on a contract that has some length on it, I'd be happy now to be going to the warm embrace of an owner who seems to be fully funded, knows what he's doing, and going into a place with a real rink. So I think that over the next week, I think that players will recognize that this is a really good thing. And I think Salt Lake City is actually a pretty nice city, but if you guys know what I'm saying, it's just, it's the franchise has been it's really been a mess. Let's just call it what it is. Mm-hmm. And this owner, the way he's handling it, I still think he's handled it well, Brownie.
I agree. And I think the excitement of going to an ownership that, I mean, everything I've read about this owner, he's an owner you want in your league. He's a guy he's pumped about this. He's excited. He's going to spend money. He wants this team to be good right away. And he wants to run it like a professional franchise, where Arizona wasn't for the last number of years. They didn't have fans. They didn't have a rink. It was just, as you said, horribly mismanaged. So I think for the players, this is all going to be a good thing. What I found weird was they told the players on the afternoon of a game, why not do this last night? Like, or wait until after the game. Like, you're having a meeting, because when you tell the players, and as you know, Strud, we're used to it. We're used to moving to new cities. But when you tell the players in the afternoon of the game, the players now got to call their families. They got to call their wives, talk to their kids, talk to their mom and dad. So now your focus is not anywhere near the game anymore. Now, I give the Coyotes credit for coming out and playing well, but it just was an odd time to do it. Like, you had last night. I mean, it's not like this is just all of a sudden this morning. Oh, okay, we're moving now. I just thought it was very strange at the timing of when they told their players.
Well, I think that, like, news broke yesterday with the reporting. I think it was yesterday, wasn't it? With the reporting. And it happened fast. Like, the reports did, get out there fast. And so Bill Armstrong wanted to address his team directly. So he actually had to fly in to meet with his team this afternoon. But I don't know, Brownie, maybe part of it is that, you know, the players need answers. There's tremendous upheaval. Their families are asking questions. You need
100%, but still, do it tomorrow, or do it last night, or do it in before the morning skate, the afternoon of the game. It doesn't have to be the GM. The coach can come in and tell them. Yeah. I mean,
but I think
it doesn't make any difference if I hear it from Ken Holland or from Chris Knobloch. I just want to know one way or the other.
But the GM's a leader. He's the leader of the franchise. I think he has to. I think I get it. Like, I kind of understand it. And honestly, does it really matter? Let's say it would have really rallied the guys and they lost tonight. Like, who cares? Like, honestly, who cares? It's changing. I give him a bit of slack on that round, because I think just the timing of it all and the way it all came together.
Well, and there could have been more news breaking today. And now the players are hearing things through the afternoon, and there's no clarity. Yeah. And they're, you know,
well, not the afternoon. They would have been asleep having their nap. They wouldn't have been listening to it.
Well, I thought it was right before the game. I thought, or before they all got to the game. Maybe I'm wrong. Either way,
they met with Armstrong this afternoon. But they all went to morning skate. They would have gone back to their hotel, probably talking to their family, trying to sort things out. I mean, fair point, Brownie. I'm not sure I agree. I think Bill Armstrong got on a plane and flew here to address his team as quickly as he could, as soon as he had the relevant information. I think he needed to wait and get the relevant information. He got it. And so kudos to them, though. And Struds, I agree with you, and I think it's a good point, guys. Like, we tend to focus on the players quite a bit here, but there are so many people behind the scenes. So, you know, think about the people that have been, you know, selling tickets there, and parts of the sales staff, and those people probably aren't moving, right? These are like livelihoods that are just going to be up and gone from this organization too. So it's pretty pretty, you know, pretty widespread beyond just the players and the team staff.
I think that the players, if I'm like, players are used to moving. I just don't think I'm not, they're not the ones I'm worried about. Honestly, like that's not, they're all making good money. They're all going to be on an NHL team or not all of them, but just because it guys like it's not going to save some people's careers or ruin some people, some hockey players' careers because the team's moving. It is going to change people's careers in hockey sports specifically because they're leaving. That team is leaving some people behind. So that's the players. I don't have a lot of, like maybe not sympathy, but I'm like, they're used to moving, man. It's not, this is what you sign up for. You move.
All right. Let's look ahead to the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow night. Listen, plenty on the line, right? Would have been even more so had the Oilers been able to grab both points tonight. But what do we got? The Oilers with a game in hand, 3 points between them. There's definitely some juice in this thing. Yep.
Right. Well, I don't think Shoggy, the point, it doesn't change anything. The Oilers still control their destiny. They win all four games. They win the division. They just have to win it in regulation tomorrow. So really, so to me, this is a huge game. That point the Oilers got was huge in setting up for the rest of the season. I think this game is more important to the Vancouver Canucks than it is to the Oilers. I think the Vancouver Canucks have been in first place for, 115 days or something. I read that. The Oilers are the one chasing. If the Vancouver Canucks come in second place, they have failed at some point. So I think it's a more important game for the Canucks. And I think there's a little bit of retribution in the minds of the Edmonton Oilers. They were embarrassed by the Canucks twice already this year. And they understand now that they've come from the depths of dead last or wherever they were to a chance to win a division title, get home ice advantage for the two rounds. So I think part of what happened tonight in the game was because of the excitement and the buildup for the big game tomorrow night. So I think it's going to be fun. I think Vancouver is a good hockey club. I think the Oilers are a very good hockey club. I'm looking forward to two good hockey clubs with a lot of stars on it having a fun night tomorrow night.
Yeah, well said, Brownie. I for me, it's all about, I'd be so pissed off that these guys spanked us three times in a row at the beginning of the year. Maybe not spanked, but beat us.
And well, so, they're the ones that just shoved them right off balance from the get-go.
So I can't wait to play this game. And I think that even, you know, as I think about it, I think I'd be able to let down tonight a bit too, getting ready for tomorrow, because I want to absolutely take these guys out and absolutely pound them. I want them to suffer for all the suffering we went through. Like, so I'm so excited for this game tomorrow night. I think that the team will be, the league's going to be. And so the getting first is important, but I think it's like, you got to, you know, get rid of the demons out of the system, Shaggy.
Can we try and work our way through what we think the line should be? See if we can come to some consensus here on what we think the line should be. I've tried to write down lines like four times already to figure out what they should be tomorrow night. So let's start with the beginning. Let's just assume Connor McDavid plays, though Chris Knobloch said it would be 50-50. He said tonight when he was sort of put on the spot and asked about it. Let's say McDavid plays. Brownie, you think it's automatic he'll go back with 18 and 93?
Yeah, I think the lines will be Connor with Nugent Hopkins and Hyman. It'll be Leon with Hendricks and Fogel.
Okay, slow down. 29-37. Leon with who, did you say? Henrik, 19 on left?
Hendricks. Yeah. It'll be McLeod with Kane and Perry. And then I don't know what's up with Carrick. I don't know if he's capable of playing or not, but it'll be three of the four guys will be on the fourth
Derek
line.
Ryan had a good night tonight, hey? Derek Ryan had a good night tonight. He might have been a sleeper for the relentless player of the night.
Yeah. So okay, so those Ryan, are the lines that I think.
So you got 13, 10, 28, let's say.
Yeah, and then with unless Carrick's out, good enough to come in. Yeah.
Okay, so you've got Holloway coming out.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
Okay.
He had three good periods last night. How are you taking that guy out of the lineup?
That's such a smart ass.
I can't believe. So basically what I'm doing is I'm just going to slip. I'm putting, McDavid line back together. I'm putting 29 between 91 and 37. 91's becoming
so
on.
You got Kane and Drysdale together.
Yeah, and 37. And then I go 19 at center with 71 and 90. And then I got the 13, 10, 28. That line was good tonight. So that leaves Carrick and Holloway on the outside looking in.
And then you got 97. 93-18. Yeah, I think you guys are right that this is what's going to happen. I think you're right that Holloway will come out and he'll go with formations like that. I'm not sure it's what should happen, but I think it's what's going to happen.
I think it should happen. I don't think Holloway is – Holloway can't play on your fourth line. He can't because you got to find him. You have to find the minutes at that point. You need penalty killers there. So yeah. Holloway – to me, Holloway's not going to knock out anyone in your top nine right now.
What are you laughing?
Did you buy 100 Holloway rookie cards? Like, what the hell are you just trying to pump up this guy's value?
No, guys, I'm telling you, with Dylan Holloway in the lineup, there's an injection of speed and energy that I think this group really needs. I think most of the changes the Oilers made slowed them down. And I'm not saying they were bad changes, but they slowed themselves down. And I don't think that works in the playoffs, guys. I don't think being slower works in the playoffs. Holloway is fast, second on the team in hits tonight. Had an excellent game last game and a good game tonight. Excellent, followed by good, followed by speed, energy, and leading the team in hits. I don't know. I have a hard time taking him out of the lineup unless he's bad. There was one shift, Struts. He disrupted four pucks in the offensive zone just by getting on his horse and being desperate. He disrupted four pucks off the sticks of Coyotes.
They don't trust him defensively, Shoggy. They don't trust him defensively.
That doesn't matter.
He was better on the wall in his own end tonight. He was better than he was before.
He's not as good as the other players. He's not. And this is a team that has the best record since Chris Knobloch took over. And Holloway has not been a part of most of that. So I don't – it's playoff hockey. It's the same teams they're playing against as they played in the regular season. It's not like the Russians are coming over and they're playing the Red Army and they're really fast. It's the same teams they've been beating with this same slow lineup that they have.
So in 15 seconds or less, tell us your lines with Holloway, where he fits in.
Well, this is the problem. It's really hard to do. You guys 12, are right. It's 11, hard to do, but that's 10, a good. It's a good 9, problem to have. Okay,
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Did I miss it?
It's not an easy fix. I don't think Janmark should come out. Right. I thought he was decent. Ryan had a good night. Connor Brown. I mean, you could make the swap with Connor Brown.
No, you can't because he penalty kills and Holloway doesn't. You can't put him on the fourth line.
Okay,
we're not beating this up. You have 10 seconds to tell us your lines or forever hold your peace. And I'm moving on to Brownie's Nuts, whatever it's called. Let's do it.
It's hard. You've challenged me and I do not have a good answer for you.
Because
I just like what he brings. I like the way they look when he's in there.
I like Broberg too. I want to see Broberg play. We can't get him up here. It's just that sometimes there's no room. Luckily, next year, Holloway, Broberg, Lavoie will all be on the team. And we can get him all fired
up. Did you say Lavoie? Did you just say Lavoie?
He did.
Next year, yeah.
No, not a chance.
Ran into Tyson Nash in the press box tonight, and I told him how we were talking about all the fights he got into in practice and how you talked about ragdolling him often.
Oh, yeah.
And he laughed and said, I beat the hairpiece off that guy.
He couldn't reach it. Couldn't reach the top of my head.
But that was a good shirt. We all laughed. All right, time now to debut the best segment on the podcast. I'm calling it that. The new best segment on the show. Brownie Points. Oh, Zuby even did an animation. I haven't seen this yet. Brownie Points brought to you by Hamel's Beef Jerky, the Alberta-based family-owned business opened in 1962. Their beef jerky is out of this world, literally. How about this story, guys? We're not making this up. Hamel's Meats sent their sweet and spicy jerky to the International Space Station in 2009 as part of a project to introduce authentic but space-friendly food. They're based in Cold Lake, and their jerky ended up on the International Space Station. Unreal. For the month of April, get 3 pounds of beef jerky for $85 and free shipping. That's 3 pounds of beef jerky for $85 in free shipping. Mix and match. They got 14 flavors, fast shipping anywhere in Alberta. Visit albertajerky.com. Brownie, award, take away. Do what you want with your brownie points, my friend.
Well, I am going to be giving away brownie points today because it's the opening night, like Struds gave chicken wings away at a Grand Prairie casino. They're going to be flying out of here right now. The first, I'm giving 25 brownie points to Calvin Pickard for the 25 okay. saves that he made tonight and kept his team in it, including those two incredible ones in overtime. I'm giving 60 brownie points to the Henrique line because they were the best line tonight. And the 60 points are for the 60 minutes that they only played tonight because they will not be a line after tonight. So that was their 60, and it's done. I'm giving one brownie point to the Edmonton Oilers for getting 1 point in this game tonight, which still allows them the opportunity to run the table and win the division.
Yeah,
I am giving 100 brownie points to Struds for his countdown that he just gave you for 15
Come
seconds.
On. Seriously?
I am taking away the first takeaway of the year. I am taking away 55 brownie points from Shoggy for his love of Dylan Holloway. Okay. I love him too, but seriously, this has become an infatuation, and you just lost 55 brownie points. And the last one, and I could give a million points to someone. There's only one magic one, and that's the magical 44. I'm giving the magical 44 brownie points to the new sponsor, Hamel Beef Jerky, for giving me a platform that I have deserved through how many months have I been here? But all of the months I've been here. Thank you, Hamel. Thank you. You get 44 brownie points, the magical 44.
Wow. We need to put some limitations on this mess. We didn't limit the number of points. I just said brownie is totally. So you gave 25 to Pickard, 60 to Henrique's line, 1 to the Oilers, 100 to Struds, negative 55 to me, and 44 to Hamel Beef Jerky. There it is. Brownie points on this night. I can't believe you gave Struds 100 brownie points after how vicious and brutal he was with you before the show started. You forgot that, didn't you?
I just turned 56 a couple days ago. The memory's not there. Can't remember what Strud said. I do remember the countdown, and it was really, really funny, and it made me laugh.
Guys, I was wrong. I love this segment. I love it. It is my favorite segment as well on the pod.
I hate it when you two team up. All right, that was Brownie Points brought to you by Hamel's Beef Jerky, and a big welcome to our new sponsors. A great Cold Lake company, but they service all of Alberta. So check them out. Order some beef jerky. Snack during playoff time. Brownie, nice job tonight, buddy. Thank you kindly. We'll let you go, and I guess we'll chat after the Canucks game tomorrow night, pal.
Sounds good. It's going to be a great one.
All right. Rob Brown and Brownie Points. So much better than Strutty's world. When we come back, Struds and I are going to take a lap. We've got Ask Us Anything, where you get your chance to chime in a little bit here and there. And then, of course, Strutty's world. Lots more ahead. Stay with us. Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention. Visit RedefinedHealth.com.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximo Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
Some good contributions on the Weiss Johnson YouTube stream. Rye Guy says only Brownie would land a beef jerky sponsorship. Leaky 37 says, Shogger, depth chart has a limited number. Holloway is down the chart. That's how a team works. Thank you, Leaky. Appreciate you explaining that one. Nate Hay says, I agree with Shogger on Hollywood. I think it's just me and you, Nate. You and I on an island. Me and Nate Hay. There's something that he brings. I don't like the idea that they won't have it for a game as big as tomorrow night.
Beating a dead horse.
Time now for taking a lap. Brought to you by Backscape, the fastest male grooming company on the planet. Just got even better with the Backscape 2.0. I just got my Backscape 2.0 like yesterday. The crew at Backscape got it for me, Struds. It's pretty wicked, man. The way that handle snaps in like that, super cool. It feels a little bit better balanced. And it's got a new titanium head shaver as well. It just feels a little bit more premium. It's always been a good product, but they really knocked it out of the park here with this 2.0. And if you use the promo code GYB10 for 10% off, advanced and deluxe kits, 2.0 kits, you will get. That is Backscape. Stay smooth, gentlemen. The website is backscape.com. That's BAKscape.com. Lap number one, Struds.
Well, we're going to talk about the big news of the last 48 hours. Obviously, we had discussed it a bit, but the Arizona Coyotes are indeed going to move to Salt Lake City. I think we know the details. The guys are probably going to get on a plane after their last game on Wednesday and go check it out with their families and all that. And excitement. I really think that this owner is the right guy. I do think the ownership in Arizona has really made some bad decisions and they've mismanaged that thing. But apparently, what is it? Manuelo, the current owner of the Arizona has a deal in place that he can bring a team back to Arizona over the next 5 years or within, I think it's at 5 years, but he's got to pay back the $1 billion he's getting for the sale of the team. So,
yeah. It's about first right of refusal should the NHL choose to expand back into Arizona, then he would be the guy I think that would be kind of front of the line.
I think they need a breather. I think Arizona needs a breather.
Well, it's going to be 5 years, bud. Like they're not going to be able to do anything until they get building.
I know, but it's a disaster. It's just the whole thing has been a disaster. I guess that's unfair. That's unfair to say that. It's been very unstable for a long time. I mean, the league ran it for a while. You know what I mean? It was a disaster. So I will call it. It was a disaster.
M. Materi in on the stream saying, can I borrow it, Shogger? I think he's asking to borrow my Backscape 2.0. That's going to be a hard no, M. Materi, on that one. But go to backscape.com, GYB10, and you'll get 10% off. So go ahead with that.
Starts next. Who is even surprised? Mark Stone back practicing with the Vegas Golden Knights today.
Trigger for Oilers fans here, bud.
I agree, though, man. I agree. It is such a joke. Patrick Kane, Kucherov, Mark Stone. It's absolutely a joke. And I felt that it was going to happen. And here we are back skating. You know, you don't think he's going to be ready for next Sunday? He's got a week. Come on. It's a joke. So I don't know. I think the league has to seriously take a look at this and adjust this because it can't happen. It's a mockery of the whole cap situation.
Neil Garrity says they need to rename the Masterton Trophy the Mark Stone Award. The guy's recovery abilities are unbelievable. Yeah. Literally unbelievable.
It's a joke. It's just, you know what? And you're just flaunting the rules. And you can tell. And I believe he was legitimately hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you fake a spleen
laceration. No, you don't. You know, but the timing, you don't think he's just holding, he maybe could have been back today. You know what I mean? I don't know. He's probably been skating on his own prior to this, before this first skate. It just doesn't feel right. So anyways, I'm not going to bitch about it. I do think
that's exactly what you're doing.
I am, but
that's what you're taking a lap for is to bitch about it.
I don't want to bring the energy down after Brownie's bites. And unbelievable.
Brownie's bites or his nuts. It's Brownie. It's Brownie points.
Brownie points. Come on.
So would you still, you had said before, bring on Vegas right away. Be better to just face him right away. Do you still feel that way, even though they potentially would have Stone in the early going?
I think it takes time to kind of get everybody sorted out and these new players integrated to your lineup and how they're playing, where the minutes go and all that stuff. And I think they'll be a better team into the second round, assuming they make it that far. And I think the more Aiden Hill can play, I think the better he's going to get because the other night against the Oilers, he looked like he was trying to do too much and too little at the same time, which is hard to do.
Yeah. All right. That was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape. A very quick break, then Strutty's World and Ask Us Anything on the other side. Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park in Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best tasting flavored rums on the planet, and they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Gotta look good.
All right, let's get to Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. They got locations in Calgary and Edmonton. If you're a contracting business or a contractor, let DLR help you add vinyl fence to your product line. See why they've been going strong since 2005. Reliable, unmatched service, high-quality, North American-made products. Visit DLRVinylProducts.ca. Pal?
Adam Henrique. He scored 4 goals for Edmonton Oilers, and I believe every one of them has been right around the net. And I think one went off him, didn't even really knock it in. Another one was a redirection from Ekholm. Tonight was kind of like a nice little fight in front, and he gets the puck. But either way, what I believe Henrique is bringing, the way he's scoring goals, they're not beautiful. Those aren't masterpieces. They don't show them on Instagram to kids who are 10 years old.
Yeah, might have 5, by the way, I think. Hey, bud?
Is it 5?
I think he might have 5. Hockey DB says he's got 5, but your point remains.
Okay, yeah. So either way, what I like about what he's done is that the goals he's scoring, those are playoff goals. You know, and when the line he's played on now with Leon, but I thought that line tonight of 91 to 37 and Henrique in the middle, they were kind of playing that playoff hockey. We get it down low, you hang on to it, grind it, drive it to the net, get lots of pucks to the net, use your D-men. Like that to me is... those goals can be recreated in playoffs. You know, doing the Michigan, that's not being recreated in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I really like that from what Henrique is doing. And Brownie alluded to it in the first segment. But I think that's something that's really important and notable for me is that he understands he goes to the net. And usually when you go to the net, things happen. So now you have Perry. You've got Hyman. You've got this guy being Henrique. You've got Kane. You have five guys. Fogle does it at times. 4 or 5 guys across your forward line that go to the net, and then you got everybody going, but those 4 or 5, they definitely go there all the time.
Yeah. His instinct is to go there, and he's, you know,
I love it.
What's he got? 23 goals on the season here. Like the guy's had a good season production wise and goal scoring wise.
Yeah.
He's willing to go to the tough areas. Right. What do you think? There was a comment. I don't remember who it was on the stream. What do you think about him on the ice in overtime? What do you think about his foot speed overall, and how do you think it's going to translate into the heat of playoffs this year?
Yeah, so I think that the rotation was really thrown out of whack when they had no Connor McDavid. I don't mind him out there in overtime, but I'd like to put someone with some speed, more speed beside him. If it was up to me, you know, I probably would have done it differently because who was Connor and Nuge to start, and then I might have gone like maybe 71-91 after that.
So you mean there. Leon and Nuge to start? Is that what you said? You said Connor.
That's who started today, right?
Yeah, Leon and Nuge. Connor, but I think you meant Leon and
Nuge. Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Leon and Nuge, yeah. Then I might even gone Hyman and Kane because they've had one. They scored a goal in overtime. I might have put those two guys out there. Then maybe a 71 and Henrique after that. Like I might have changed that, but maybe he wasn't prepared for it, or I'm not suggesting he wasn't prepared, but like it was just weird how it kind of played out. I didn't feel right. over time. Yeah. And then as far as in playoffs, I think he knows where to be more often than not. Like, he's smart enough to be around there. So it's TBD, but I'm not too worried about his foot speed. But there should need be some line. His line needs to have some speed on it.
You know what I was saying earlier, though, and I'm not making this point about Dylan Holloway. I guess overall speed-wise, when they have everybody in, all the new guys in, you know, whether it's Henrique, whether it's Perry, whether it's Carrick, and now Stetcher increases their speed level. We haven't talked about him at all tonight. Mm-hmm. But I just know how much the pace of the game ratchets up in the postseason. And there are certain combinations that I think you have to avoid. I think you would avoid Henrique, Perry, Kane together. I think you'd avoid that in the playoffs. I think that's too slow a line. You know, I think there are some formations they need to be wary of because they have sprinkled some slower players through their lineup.
But I think what they're trying to do, the intention was to build a lineup that plays the half court offense better. Like, I really feel strongly about that. Last year, the Oilers, I think back to some of those Vegas games, they were all over it. They're moving the puck around the offensive zone, but not really getting much done. So the guys like Perry, guys like Henrique, they're going to get more to the middle of the ice so he can create more of the middle. So there are lines I think the Oilers will have. They'll be able to have a track meet. But I think there are lines that some Oilers will have that they'll just want to get it deep and just ground and pound. Like, I think the recipe long-term in the playoff success is ground and pounding in the offensive zone. I really feel that way.
Yeah, but I don't disagree with you. I think you need to build a team that can do that. But I just, man, slower teams just don't win. Now, the Oilers, they have speed available to them, right? They do. Yeah. They got some burners. And when McDavid's back in, that dramatically changes the overall speed of the team too. So, and Ryan McLeod, I thought, had some good looks. How about Leon Draisaitl? When he got on his horse and rushed the puck up ice that one time at full speed, like absolute all-out full speed, we have not seen that a ton of times this year, Struds. I like the fact that with McDavid not in the lineup, Draisaitl was thinking puck transportation, and he was thinking it at full speed there.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of good things like happening, and I think that, you know, you outshoot the other team like they did, and you're like, okay, we should probably win this game.
Yeah.
And listen, I'll say this about Dylan Holloway. I love what I think he can be, but I don't think he's that guy now, and I don't know where he fits in this puzzle. And Brownie nailed it. I'm not sure you can trust him right now. And you know, he'll get a chance in the playoffs, I'm sure. But when I put the lines together like they are, I like the fourth line. They're working well. You know, the first line is working well. So it's the second and third line that you have to figure out, and is there a place for him? If there is, who comes out? I think that's where we have to leave it at.
I'm going to keep my eye on 37. That's who I'm going to keep my eye on. Mm-hmm. See if he can maintain his spot, you know, where he has been for a lot of this season. And if he can, that's really good news for the Oilers. That was Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. Zuby's been keeping a close eye on the Weiss Johnson YouTube stream, so he's gathered some of the best. But keep the submissions coming. Ask us anything, and we mean anything. Anything you want to know. Hockey-related, otherwise, Struds and I are an open book. Send in your questions. Short break, and we'll get to that.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
Time to ask us anything, brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Buchlan of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. She's all about amazing service for her client. Buying a house is a big deal, right? You need someone you know you can trust and who you know is working 24/7 to either sell your home or find you that new perfect one. Call Rini, 780-994-0280. Zuby, nice music fade there. Hop on in. I can see you working the controls whilst hopping in to do the set. People don't realize what a multitasker you have to be to execute this Ask Us Anything segment.
Yes, very much so. It's more about the bigger issue I have is my mind going off to other things while I'm listening. I'm like listening as a fan, and I might be in on the chat doing stuff. And then I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to have a different logo up there.
It's my turn.
Yeah.
It's my turn. I'll start us off. Saw a movie last night. That Civil War movie. You guys seen the
I've seen the trailers. It looks crazy.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Yeah. No spoilers or anything like that. What I will say is like worth seeing. Good movie. It's much less political than the trailers make it look. It's not a movie that's all about the politics of how a civil war happened in the United States. It's more a movie about there's a civil war happening, and then it's through the eyes of some photojournalists that are covering it. So not as political as the trailers make it look, but still worth seeing.
Cool.
Is there some implication that the president is, does he kind of resemble another, does he act like another figure?
No, he's not. No, they don't go to great lengths to draw parallels between him and Trump. No, right. And that's what I mean. It's not that political. Right. As a journalist, I enjoyed it because it was about journalists and some of the things that they come up against when they're covering wars and, you know, trying to do the job and that kind of thing. So I was interested in that way. But if people think it's like this big, heavy political thing that's like really gives you the nitty gritty of how this could happen, not necessarily going to be the case.
Cool. Yeah, I'd like to check it out. Trailers look awesome. So, Ryan, when you were revisiting your stance on Holloway, we had a couple, we do have some people backing you up. Nate Hayes said, "Preach it, Ryan." I know you said that you thought he's your only supporter, but he's not. On the other side of things, Bill Hampton said, "I think that's the shipwreck talking." But then
I wasn't into the shipwreck today. I think that was Struds.
But then Nathan Jameson said, he wanted to ask is, and you just alluded to this before the break, could Fogle possibly be the odd man out? He says having Fogle and Holloway would be redundant in my view, but if 55 is out playing 37, then so be it. Is that a real is that an actual possibility?
Not to start the playoffs. I don't think it's a real possibility. Really good game. Like Holloway, there's no doubt. And I give Shogrig time. He was very good or a hard time. He was very good Wednesday. Tonight, he was good. And the physicality is great. I think it's fantastic. But getting the right spot in the lineup for him, I think he's a guy that'll probably come in at some point in the playoffs, contribute when there's injuries. His time will come. And I love Dylan Holloway. It's just not right now. Now is not the time.
Yeah, for sure. I think Dylan Holloway will replace Warren Fogle next season 100%. On the Edmonton Oilers. That's just going to be his spot.
Yeah.
I think long-term that's there. I think what happens between now and the end of the regular season should matter. I think if Holloway continues to play with energy and pace and makes good plays on the wall in his own end, and I understand Brownie's point about dependability in the defensive zone, and that's going to matter to this coach. But I think what happens between now and the end of the regular season matters. And I think that you got to play the guys that are playing well and play the guys that give you the style of play that you think you're going to win with. So I think it should matter. But what I think should happen and what I think will happen are probably two different things here.
You guys were, I feel like, praising the second line a fair bit. We had Davin chiming in saying, am I blind or are Rico and Fogues terrible together? He also added that second line had some long shifts and it wasn't because they like playing defense.
Yeah, I wasn't quite as much on the train for that line tonight as I think maybe both you guys were, Struds. I don't know. Did you think they were that good?
I did. I think they had some good moments. They're giving up shots on both ends. And what I find at times, like there's two times specifically, not to pick on it, but you know, Kane got the puck within 10 feet of their own blue line and then mishandled it or missed.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
And then you're back. So those are just things you can tidy up. But I am looking for an offensive line that can hold the puck and ground and pound. I keep saying it, but I'm telling you guys, that's the pathway to success in the playoffs over a 7-game series.
Fogle, Henrique, and Kane, 55% Corsi 4 in this game. Shots for and against were 10-10. Goals for and against 2-1. Expected goals for 1.32. Expected goals against 0.96. So expected goals for percentage, 57.89. So the deeper numbers would show that possession wise and chance wise, they had an effective night together.
Taves to Kane and actually a number of other people. And this is a guy you just touched on really briefly, I think, earlier as well. Taves to Kane said, Derek Ryan should be in the lineup almost every night. Carrick is a little redundant. I don't think, probably not Derek Ryan isn't the redundancy. Maybe Janmark is the redundancy for Carrick. But what do you guys think? Like, Derek Ryan having a couple really good games here, is he making his case to put Sam Carrick on the edge on the other side?
I think that fourth line is up for discussion, right? So the way you play, I think those guys have been around. They've been in the NHL the whole year. So I think how they play is going to affect what happens. And I think maybe there's some nights you want to have Sam Carrick in, some nights you want to have Ryan in. I think Brown's playing well. I think like those four guys are all doing a pretty good job. So unfortunately, some's going to sit out who doesn't deserve it. But I believe that is the fourth line. Like that's what the fourth line looks like. There's one of those four guys.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And they have roles, right? Ryan is the right shot center. Janmark is an excellent penalty killer. Brown has got himself in there as a penalty killer as well. So they have those roles, and I think this head coach really likes that. And so, yeah, I do think that Ryan has made a case lately to be in there more often than Carrick. Although I think Carrick's a little nicked up right now, and that's part of the reason why wasn't in tonight. Not sure if he'll play tomorrow or not.
KD, who was apparently at the game, and he said close behind the benches, he said O'Brien was chirping the Oilers bench all night long, every commercial timeout. Nurse was going back at him hard, and Perry and Knobloch told him not to waste your time before the playoffs. Did you see any of that through the binocs there, Sugar?
Yeah, so he was the one that pulled the flyby on Pickard early, wasn't he? Struds, was he the one? Him? Yeah, went maybe got him with the stick on his way through or something like that.
Yeah,
or...
it did hit the head. It hit his head. Was it O'Brien? I didn't think it was. Maybe it was.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not going to fight that. I'm not going to, yeah.
Anyways, I didn't witness that per se. I completely agree, though. I think it was okay for them to stay out of that mess. There wasn't anything that happened that needed anything done. There's no point to get it. I mean, unless there is a really good reason and it's reactionary in defense of somebody getting, you know, significantly cheap-shotted or hurt, I think you can keep the gloves on pretty much for the rest of the run here, Struds, and keep the big picture in mind.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. That team does not. It did not. They're not going to the playoffs. They've got their own issues right now. The last thing you want to do is to break your hand fighting O'Brien. It just makes no sense. And if anyone's going to find him, I'd say it's Vinny Darnay. Get in there and fight him. Like it's not. That's not Kane. That's not Nurse. That's not anyone up the lineup. So I would have said the same guys. He's trying to get involved in the game. We want him on the ice. That's the guy we want on the ice to play against.
Yeah.
Speaking of Darnell Nurse, Neil Garrity said Nurse was the best D-man tonight, and that's a good thing. You guys, would you agree with that statement?
Best D-man tonight. What do you think, Struds?
I thought he had a good night. I mean, scoring a goal obviously helps kind of make you feel better about it. And I like that play actually by Fogel, like the bank pass off the wall, indirect pass, I think they called it in today's logo, or in lingo, and he just hammers it in there. Yeah, I thought he had a good game, like, yeah, I didn't think Bouchard and Ekholm were particularly amazing tonight. Not that, like, it's just they set a high standard, right? So you're like, okay, well, this is not quite where they're at. And then Kulak and Darnay kind of bring the same every night. So, yes, I could see all that. And I thought Stetcher looked fine beside Darnell. Quick skater, gets around quick like a water bug.
Yeah, I like Stetcher, man. And I've, you know, part of the reason why I'm not sure Holloway will get, you know, whether the door is open or not. But an indicator to me is that it's Knobloch wants to stay with the guys that sort of have gotten him here. And I think that's part of what your guys' point has been. They've been so good with this matrix of players and so suddenly going changing. And that makes sense to a degree. But part of the reason why I'm not sure Holloway can work his way in, Struds, is because I think Stetcher has deserved an opportunity, more opportunity than he's gotten. But the head coach wants to keep going with the guys that got him here, right? So the fact that Stetcher and his play hasn't earned him a little bit more of a look tells me that the coach wants to stay loyal to the main group. And I understand that. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with it, but I understand that that's his philosophy and that's what he's likely to do.
You have to be careful, though, when you got the shiny new toy, right? Because every time Stetcher goes in or Holloway, they know they have to make a big impression, make it happen, and do play my best. Mm-hmm. But what do they look like after 10 games? What do they look after 20 games, after 30 games? Like, keeping a high level isn't easy in the NHL. And I always said it, I'm not suggesting this was Stetcher Holloway at all, but when you guys would get called up and they'd get to that 9, 10 game somewhere in there, I found that they're like, holy geez, I'm in the NHL. And then it kind of dropped off for some guys. So they're always bringing in their best. They know they're desperate to play well, so they're desperate. Can they keep it up all the time? I think that the team as is where it should be, well-placed. And unfortunately, players that don't deserve to sit out are going to sit out. But that happens. There's going to be injuries. I'm telling you, those guys are going to get a chance to play for sure.
Bill Hampton says, oh, Matrix shows up in back-to-back pods. Did I say Matrix last pod too?
I guess so. Okay. I think it was Holloway discussion. I think it was the top nine Matrix or the bottom six Matrix or something to that end.
Job there. All right, two more, and then we'll wrap it up with our play of the day.
Okay, Nate Hay says, can somebody tell Fogle to stop deking on breakaways or scoring opportunities? He has a shot that works a lot better. And I'll tell you, I want to include this one. It makes me laugh, because as a goalie, especially later in a period or later in a game, I'm hoping guys deke. I'm thrilled when they deke, because a guy coming in with speed that fires a perfect shot, there's nothing I can do. So I guess let's turn this. You can comment on that, or you guys can tell me what's your go-to breakaway move. Let's go there. What was your guys' go-to breakaway move?
I don't have one. I don't. I played moves. in this men's tournament yesterday in Fort St. John, and like there was a shootout. They're like, do you want to go? I'm like, I do not. I do not want to go. I just don't have moves. Like, honestly, I never worked on it. It was something I never practiced. So it's like, I'm terrible. So I can tell people what I think works, but I'm terrible. No.
Yeah. Don't know if I ever scored on a breakaway. Yeah, no moves, terrible. No hands. Nothing. Basically, there's nothing there. But that breakaway was a bit of a tough look for Fogle, though. I was thinking, oh, did he hurt himself? Like, he looked like he might have hurt himself. So I'm like, oh, that's a tough
one. Yeah.
Anyway, the guy goes 100 miles an hour, man, in all directions. So you give him credit for that.
Okay, last one. Let's double back to tomorrow night's game. Nate Hay said the Oilers need to win tomorrow. Think of all us Oiler fans who have Canuck fans as friends and having to deal with them. And then Jacob said, boys, are we beating Vancouver on Saturday in regulation? So let's maybe a quick prediction on tomorrow night.
Well, I got a little note from someone that said, keep a close eye on things tomorrow at Skate. Keep a real close eye on things, and in particular when it comes to the Canucks and their goaltending situation. So I'm going to go to practice tomorrow morning and keep a real close eye on the goaltending scenario. Maybe, I don't know, maybe finds a way to get back into the lineup.
He's with the team, or have they traveled?
I saw today. Their bags there today. So I'll confirm all of that tomorrow morning when I get there.
I bet you Rick Tocchet plays them tomorrow.
Plays Demko.
Tocchet knows. I think Tocchet knows that they need to. They want to get him back in, get him some games. He's got to play. So I think if he's good to go, I play him tomorrow. Even though it's the Oilers, not that I think that's good or bad, but whether or not it's the Oilers, I'd still try to get him in tomorrow. I'm trying to get him into his regular routine. So when we playoffs start next weekend, you got to get him playing. And I think Tocchet will do that.
All right, that was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Buchlan. And as we wrap up the podcast tonight, we turn to Play Alberta for our play of the day, now featuring hundreds of player props for the biggest leagues on the planet, football, hockey, basketball, baseball. You can bet on it all. Deposit today with the promo code GYB50 and get a $50 free bet. Visit playalberta.ca. Studs, what's the play of the day today, bud?
The entire brownie point segment. It was so great. I can't wait to hear it every night. Brownie points. You win, buddy. You win, brownie. You win.
Going to be a regular segment. Now, on the podcast that he is not on, I think we're still going to award brownie points. So either he's going to have to text him in, or maybe you and I will take a few liberties with his segment.
Sure.
And award them as we think. Just a reminder, by the way, 25 for Pickard. 60 for Adam Henrique, 1 brownie point for the Oilers. Strud's got 100 for the countdown, shutting me up on Dylan Holloway. I lost 55 points for the Dylan Holloway stuff. and 44 to Hamel's Beef Jerky for being the sponsor of our new segment. Yeah, that was a beauty.
So good.
I will admit, I was completely stymied. I had nothing. And I'm disappointed in myself when you put me on the spot and challenge me to come up with lines. I'm just tired. And I agree, it kind of doesn't work. I could not defend myself in that situation. That might have been the gem of the night or a quick runner-up, Struds.
But now we can move on. Now we can move on from the Dylan Holloway talk. He's probably not playing tomorrow. We're going to talk about him when we get into the playoffs. We can say he needs them now. Bring him in.
Bigger question is Connor McDavid going to play tomorrow? I'll be at morning skates. He went hard today, by the way, Struds. Like,
he looked good.
He went hard. He looked good today. He was blasting around out there. So you know those things you stick handle through? I don't know what they're called.
Power Edge Pro.
So he went through those probably seven different times. Mm-hmm. He bobbled one puck.
I know. Fine. I think it's more important for Demko to play for the Canucks than it is for McDavid, just because they need Demko playing. So that's a bigger storyline for the game tomorrow.
Fair point. Good job tonight, Struds. Thanks, my friend.
Likewise. Yep. See you guys.
Zuby, great to chat with you, buddy. We will. I think you're going to be off for a couple of pods, but we'll talk to you early next week. And Steve Taylor will slide into the chair tomorrow night. Thanks to everybody that joined us on the stream. Much appreciated. And a big thanks to our title sponsors, Sherwood Buick GMC. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and we will chat after.